Good evening, Wahoos and fellow ACC fans. This is Frank Maloney with Jim Hobgood to my immediate right. And
that's good to have you back in the studio. We missed you last week.
It's good to be back here in the Death Delay Club.
Down in the beautiful state of Florida.
West Palm, to be exact.
Well, nothing like going first class. You know, why not?
But, well, I had to go down there and meet with the Donald. Talk about the State of the Union.
Why no? You were down there at Mar-a-Lago or Mar-a-Lago. Why do you say that?
I think it's Mar-a-Lago.
Whatever. It's the Donald Southern White House.
I did get to see Air Force One, which was pretty cool. And I must say, it's a very impressive machine. Just, as you're taxiing over to your gate, and the captain tells everyone to look out one side of the plane, and there you see Air Force One, and you go, wow, that thing is big.
I know. It's a big, big plane. It's the White House officially when it's in the air. You wouldn't think the United States is $20 trillion in debt when you see that plane. It looks like it has a fresh coat of paint on it and everything else.
Well, the Democrats don't want you to know that. All right. So now that we got that dig in, let's talk about the show. Tonight's big show. This is going to be a lot of fun. We're going to dissect the Wahoo basketball program, and there's a lot of news that has come out of Charlottesville in the last week.
Anybody else left?
No.
Good.
No. I think all the departures have occurred. I feel bad for one of those players. I think that one player, Shayok, is making a mistake. The others I understand completely. I've gotten the lowdown on those guys. In addition, two Virginia football players decided they needed to go play ball somewhere else, and I got a bone to pick with at least one of them. As for other news, there's a number of athletes that have committed to come to Charlottesville, and that's just the nature of the beast today in college sports.
Kids transfer, when they don't see the playing time on the horizon. And as I keep telling people, particularly in basketball, everybody in these Power Five conferences, including obviously the ACC, thinks they can play at the next level. Now, the majority of them can't, but they all think they can. So they all think, hey, I've got to get minutes somewhere. I got to play. I got to start. And I'm sure with Shayok and Thompson, they both, thought this is their last shot since they're both rising seniors.
Yeah.
So they got to go somewhere where they can demonstrate their skills. But it's too bad.
Well, the other thing is we need to let folks know that tonight we have Chris Wright of the Sabre joining us. Longtime supporter of the program, a great ally. We have been, in essence, kindred spirits and an independent Wahoo distribution information outlets.
I like the way you dropped that sponsorship in there, the kindred spirits. Very nice. You're better. Even though you had a week off, I see you're still at your top of your game right there.
Give me a microphone. I'm ready to go every time. And air engineer just leaned over and started laughing. All right. So has he called yet? So let's, without further ado, let's bring on our good friend, none other than Chris Wright of the Sabre. Chris, welcome to Who's Talking.
Thanks for having me. How are you guys doing?
Oh, we're trying to cheer up. I mean, there was some news coming out of Charlottesville this week. It kind of hit me long distance, at one point, I was like, all right, what else they got to throw at me? And
what's going on over there? Is they having a fire drill? What's everybody's leaving the building.
They're playing musical chairs and people are losing? What's happening there, Chris?
Yeah, I don't find it all that surprising.
Okay.
Three is a lot. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong, three at one time is a lot. But 700 players approximately transferred in Division I last year. Okay, so let's just start from there. It happens a lot. Until this recent little flurry of three for Virginia, they had been near the bottom in the ACC since 2014 for transfers. So no one had really transferred out in the last couple of years either. So kind of one of those things, cost of doing business type of deal. But ultimately, and I just wrote about this today on the site, Virginia has more talented players coming in than they did before.
Yes.
And that's cost some playing time already this year. And with two of those guys coming off red shirts next year, it could have eaten into more playing time for the three guys that chose to transfer out. So ultimately, we have to see if these players who came in rated higher end up being better players or not. But they're starting on a higher floor in terms of talent than the players before them.
Yes.
If you look at all the ratings, all that kind of stuff, I think they're just better potentially than the guys who just left transfer-wise. So, you know, the last time this happened, it was Malcolm Brogdon coming off a redshirt year, Anthony Gill coming off a transfer year. A couple guys got spooked and left, right? So I don't know if that means the guys that redshirted are really good or if Jerome and Guy are going to be even better than we've seen already.
Well, here's the one thing I thought is, you know, the redshirt guys, even though they don't play in the games, they do practice with the team. So obviously Shayok and Thompson got a chance to see DeAndre Hunter in practice. So I'm sort of thinking maybe DeAndre Hunter has some skills that might get him on the floor. Have you seen practice or heard anything about his skill level?
Well, Ahmad Hawkins, who, you know, does a podcast and radio, and he's all over the place, who's a pretty daggone good athlete, and he's played against a lot of good athletes over the course of his time in athletics. He calls him a freak athlete.
Wow.
So I think we have to start from there. He's a guy that has a lot of spring. You know, he's explosive off the floor. He can create his own shot. His wingspan is significant. I don't know exactly what it is, but I've heard it reported around 7 feet. So, I mean, he's just a long, lengthy, explosive guy. That is something Darius Thompson can say. Darius Thompson's fairly explosive, but he usually needs some room in the open floor to be that way. I think DeAndre Hunter might be able to be explosive even in traffic. So that's a lot to live up to coming off a redshirt year, but certainly there's some athleticism and some potential there for someone of that size and kind of that build to make an impact pretty quickly.
And, you know, it's been sort of an unusual year for the UVA basketball program on a bunch of levels. I mean, first off, they were coming off three of the best years in school history. Let's face it, what, 89 wins? And, you know, then you had the drama surrounding Austin Nichols, and would the ACC Sports Journal's predicted most impactful newcomer have that sort of impact as projected, or would he be suspended and then dismissed, which threw the season into sort of put a whole different slant on it. The other thing that's kind of bizarre is the whole thing with young Jeff Jones being dismissed from the team mid-season. I don't think anybody really saw that coming, and I don't really understand that whole thing. To me,
well, that was supposedly academics, wasn't it?
Yeah, but why wouldn't somebody take him aside and say, son, you're a senior, get it together. We don't want to make this announcement, you know?
That sounds like party hardy to me.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. But
what about
I mean, tell us, Chris, what do you think about these things? I know they're not related, but, you know, that's five guys that are going to leave the program under, you know, less than ideal circumstances.
I mean, the two extra guys are kind of by their own own mistakes, basically.
Yes.
Whatever reason he's academically ineligible, I'm sure he was given chances to figure that out. And then Austin Nichols was suspended first and then did whatever again to get kicked off the team. So to me, that's just, if you're going to run the program the way Coach Bennett is going to run it, those both are non-negotiable. I just don't see it as anything more than a sustain the program culture. And if those guys couldn't live up to it, then that just kind of is what it is. But
you know, the Reuter departure, you know, that also tells me same thing. Jay Huff, what do you hear about his development? I know he's gotten a little bigger and a little stronger. Does he have a low post game, or do you know?
I think he has a whole lot of everything game. I don't know if it'll, you know, how fast it'll show up, but he's a guy that can step all the way out and hit the three. He's athletic enough to step off of 1 foot and dunk from somewhere around the free throw line, right? We saw that on a viral video.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
He's 7 foot tall. he's fairly mobile. I've watched him warm up, and he's got footwork in terms of post moves. Now, it's different in warm ups than it is with someone guarding you. We all know that, but the tools are all there, and he's a big, tall, athletic kid. So, just the fact that he can step out and shoot threes alone could create different spacing than Virginia had this year with Salt and Wilkins on the floor. A lot of times, I suppose, if you put, you know, Huff and Giacchite out there instead, suddenly the floor is spaced differently, and so then maybe there's more room for guards to drive or, you know, do whatever, get to the free throw line more because there's less help defense there. It can just change a lot of things when you have a big that can shoot.
All right, let's talk about Mariel Shayok. To me, this was sort of a sucker punch to the gut. Here's a young man that clearly demonstrated that he could take over a game. All you have to do is look at the UNC Wilmington NCAA first round game, and he basically saved Virginia's bacon. What's going on there? I mean, don't you think Tony Bennett tried to convince that young man to get his degree and finish up at UVA and then go after pro basketball the way it's expected that he would do? Or what, you know, what are your thoughts?
I think there's an outside possibility we're hearing through kind of the murmurs and rumor mill that he could graduate by the end of the summer. So he may still end up with a UVA degree and then transfer. We'll see how that plays out. The young man on Gonzaga's Final Four team, Matthews, transferred from Cal as a grad student, but he had to take 18 summer credit hours to be immediately eligible as a grad student at Gonzaga. So this is becoming one of those things that's going on around college basketball a lot, too. Guys kind of speeding their timetable up with a lot of classes at once. So we'll see what happens with Shayok graduation-wise. In terms of his fit, he never seemed to be a consistent option or consistently trusted by the coaches. If you look at his minutes, they have gone up and down his entire time here. You know, some games he'll do like he did against UNC Wilmington, and some games he'll do like he's done countless other times where
he just disappeared.
Or something.
Well, you know, let's face it, Shayok's button or whatever was he wanted to attack. You know, whenever he got the ball in the wing and the coaches sent him in the game to go after it and get some points, you know, he did his level best to try to get to the foul line or get up and get the jump shot or drive all the way to the hoop. And
the bottom line is he clearly saw his minutes disappearing next year
or limited again
for whatever reason. Chris, let me ask you this: scholarships all of a sudden are open. You talk about guys graduating. Obviously, if they've graduated, they can play right away. Is there any possibility? Do you hear anything about Virginia looking at somebody who might be able to come in and play next year? Or is that they're just going to use the scholarships in the traditional way of bringing in more kids next year?
Yeah, they have four open scholarships all of a sudden. So it may be a combination of those things. Maybe a late high school signee, maybe a regular transfer that sits out a year, and maybe a grad transfer, even though Coach Bennett has not really gone that route before. We've heard names pop up already today. You know, Dwayne Wilson from Marquette. He is a graduate student coming out of Marquette that is listed Virginia among his final six. We know there's a young man at Bryant whose name I couldn't pronounce if you asked me to. he's a transfer that's the regular transfer market. So he played really well against some, you know, power conference teams earlier this year. So you're already seeing Virginia's name pop up from the player end where players are saying they're interested in Virginia. Now, who knows how much Virginia is interested? I don't know that we'll know that until we see a couple guys, you know, reportedly visiting and that sort of thing. But I think they are looking at any and all options to make sure that they use these scholarships. I don't think they'll pocket very many of them. They'll be a little bit careful because they're in good shape with 2018 kids. But they'll definitely use a couple of these, and they're going to probably try to get someone immediately eligible because they only have nine guys eligible on scholarship to play next year.
The Porter kid from Washington, is that a realistic
Missouri
thing?
He's already committed.
He's done? Okay.
Yeah, his father got
Missouri with his dad.
His dad got the job.
It's one of those package deals, huh?
And that's where he was going to go the first time. Chris, talk to us a little bit about you think Virginia's in good shape with next year's recruits. Who are those guys from your standpoint?
Yeah, there are a lot of different names there. Quigley, I think is how you pronounce it, is one that I've got my eye on. He's a point guard with a little more to the basket game than we've seen Virginia point guards the last couple of years. You know, obviously London improved with that trait. I think Ty Jerome will get better at it as he gets stronger. But if you look at some of the guys they're looking at, both in the transfer market now and the guys you're looking at in 2018, I think it's pretty clear that they are trying to address the get-to-the-rim piece of the puzzle.
Yes.
Right? So there are a lot of guys that fit that mold that they're looking at, especially with this, you know, freedom of movement, free throw line, that whole thing. I think it's clear that kind of bothers Coach Bennett, that they're not getting to the line a lot. I think they're trying to address that in the recruiting.
Well, you know, they tried to recruit that young man up in D.C., Likens, or I'm not sure I'm pronouncing
Chris Likes, yeah, he's going to Miami.
And you know, he was the kind of guy that could get inside the paint. The problem is he was like 5 foot nothing. But, I mean, you know, if you can get a kid that's 6'2", that's got those jets and then can get the ball up to the basket and or can dish quickly, you know, like a Joel Berry, you know, then you've got something. But
and these are the type of guys they're looking at. Javon Quinterly, a guy named Emmanuel Quickly.
Yes.
If your name's Quickly, that you're probably quick, right?
Yes, I like that name.
Furnace Hub has put a guy from up in the D.C. area, has put Virginia in his finalists. So these type of players are popping up on Virginia's radar. And that's just part of where things have gone. Virginia was good for 3 years running, good again this year. You start getting recruits' attention when you do it consistently. And then you're swimming in a little bit bigger pool in Virginia's game.
We must mention that Marco Anthony is allegedly coming into the program this June. He's finishing up his schoolwork down at Holmes High School down in San Antonio. By all accounts, he's had a terrific last year and a half, 2 years in high school basketball. And what is he, 6'5", 6'6", somewhere in there?
Yeah, 6'6", 220. He's in that Brogdon kind of physical size guard type of mold. Yeah, he's got a long ways to go to be as good as Malcolm Brogdon. I don't care how good he is right now.
Yes.
But he's in that mold in terms of his physical build and kind of the way he plays the game.
In the state playoffs, he scored three back-to-back games, 36, 44, and 25 points. And they secured a long-awaited postseason berth to get into those playoffs. So clearly a young man that's got a lot of upside, and a lot of coaches went after him late, including Miller out there at Arizona,
Sean Miller,
and Shaka Smart at Texas tried to go get him late.
Yeah.
But
too late.
Yeah,
already secured. Hey, Chris, we got to go to break now. Can you hang with us? We got a few more questions. May even ask you a football question before we let you go. So Chris Wright of the Saber is going to hang with us. We'll be back. You're listening to Who's Talking. Stay tuned.